Well, good morning and welcome. I want to especially welcome any guests or visitors who are worshiping with us this morning. And I'd like to welcome those who are worshiping via the live stream. We're here to celebrate God and His goodness and His mercy that He pours out on us. He sent Jesus to live among us. He went to the cross and died to atone for our sins. And He rose again to new life. And that is what we're praising God and celebrating this morning. I was handed a prayer request. So we'll add that into our prayer here in a moment. Jeanette and Delvin Huber's son-in-law, Amber's husband, Merv Stalsfus, was taken to Hershey Medical Center last night. He was in a lot of pain, and words did not make sense when he spoke. The problem is unknown at this time. He's being treated for possible meningitis. So I'd like to pray for him and his family at this time and pray to open our service. So will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we lift up Amber to you. We lift up Merv to you and Delvin and Jeanette and their entire family. I pray that you pour out your peace and your presence upon them. I pray that you bring healing to Merv's body. I pray that you would work in a mighty way in him and heal him. Take away what is causing these issues and problems, Lord. You know exactly what is going on. I pray for your hand of healing upon him. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for giving us Jesus. And through him, making a way for us to be with you forever. Lord, you gave us a way to be forgiven. Forgiven of our sins and worship you for an eternity. We praise you, Jesus, for what you accomplished on the cross, in the tomb, and rising again to new life. You are alive, and we hold on to the promises that you give us. Receive our worship of you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right. I just wanted to say for the children, we're going to have the offering during the first song, and the My Coins Count tube is right up there. You have to walk right through here between Jeff and Julie, and we'll allow you to put your coins in there. So that will be during the first song, and the ushers can receive the offering as well. So we're going to be singing a number of songs this morning as our worship. We're not going to say you can't sing, so feel free to join in. I know it's Easter Sunday, you're not going to not sing. So, Hallelujah for the Cross is our first song.
Thank you. I invite you to join me as we return thanks to the Lord and offer a prayer. Lord God, we thank you for this opportunity to gather and for the joy and hope, not only of this Easter day and season, but that you offer to us throughout all of this year and throughout all of life because of your great victory, and that we can carry a tune and a song, whether it's in our lips, in our pockets with a phone, or in our heart, Lord, that you give us joy despite the things that we face in the fallen world around us. We just offer these gifts to you, ask that you would bless them, give us wisdom and discernment in knowing where to apply them as stewards of your great gifts here in our community, as these funds go to the ministry and the youth group and various other ways we interact with the needs around us. Open our eyes to see others the way that you do, to see you for who you really are, and to see ourselves the way that you do. May we give generously throughout the week ahead. In your name we pray. Amen.
So on Friday, Jesus was buried and lay in the grave. All hope was gone, and yet on Easter morning he rose, and it was exciting, and everyone was shouting and glad because God is not dead, God is alive.
Thank you.
songs yet. Sorry. We have two more songs yet. The Glorious Day, that one day he's coming back again, and then finishing off with He is Lord.
Thank you.
Well, it's time for our children's message, so I'd like to invite the children to come forward. Can you guys slide together so they can fit in one way or the other? Well, good morning. How are you guys doing today? Does anybody know what Pastor Ken talked about, a surprise he had last Sunday that he didn't enjoy so much? What was he looking forward to? Pumpkin pie, right? And what was it? Does anybody remember what was in it that he didn't like? Coconut. Yes, he had pumpkin pie with coconut. When he was telling that story, I thought about this. You know, you want a chocolate chip cookie and you pick one with raisins in. Not that raisins are bad and raisin cookies are okay, but when you're expecting a chocolate chip cookie and you get one with raisins, it's kind of disappointing, right? Well, in Luke chapter 8, starting in verse 40, a man named Jairus had a daughter who was about 12 years old, and she was sick, and she was dying. And so Jairus, who was a synagogue leader in the Jewish temple, went and fell down at Jesus' feet, and he begged Jesus to come and heal his daughter before she dies. He believed that Jesus could heal him. So Jesus goes with him, and they're traveling, and there's so many people that Jesus is having trouble getting to Jairus' house. There's Jairus just asking Jesus to come and heal his daughter. Everybody in the streets wanted to be with Jesus and see Jesus and maybe be healed by him. And Jesus had stopped along the way to heal a woman. And as Jesus was speaking to her, someone came from Jairus' house and said, "Don't bother Jesus anymore. Your daughter has died." But Jesus heard this news being delivered, and he told him, "Don't be afraid, because she's going to be saved." They finally get to Jairus' house, and there's people outside crying and mourning and are sad because the little girl had died. But Jesus tells everyone that she's not dead, she's just asleep. And they all laughed at him because they didn't understand what Jesus was about to do. So Jesus and Jairus and his wife and some of the disciples go up into her room, and he tells the little girl to get up. And her spirit returned to her, and she was alive. And she got up and she ate food. Jesus did this miracle. And we celebrate Easter when Jesus did something that was unexpected. He rose from the grave. He went to the cross and then he rose from a grave. Unlike the cookie with raisins in it, when you get a surprise that's kind of disappointing and not so good, Jesus is alive. He did something that was more amazing than what anybody thought he could do. And that's what we're celebrating this morning, what Jesus did for us. So remember that Jesus died and he came to life to save us from our sins. So I'm going to pray for you guys, and then you can have some stuff over there. They're going to help you with that. Some of this stuff was donated by someone in the church, so we thank them for that. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you bless each one of these children. I pray that you would protect them. I pray that you would call them into a relationship with you and help them and us to understand the true meaning of Easter. In Jesus' name, amen. So they're going to help you right over there. So while they're doing that, we have a... We have a short video from the Sensnigs that we're going to play. So whenever you're ready, Lauren, you can play that.
I have called you friends. On my recent trip to Iran, I considered these words of Jesus. What a beautiful truth that God desires to be our friend and that we seek friendship with one another. When politics and other differences make peace seem impossible, that's exactly when we most need friendship. At the invitation of an Islamic research academy, I participated in conferences in two different cities in Iran. I presented a paper on the biblical calling to be peacemakers. You have heard, love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I say to you, love your enemies and do good to those who persecute you, pray for those who treat you badly. I told stories from the teachings of Jesus. The story he told of the Good Samaritan who saved a neighbor from death, and Jesus holds up the Samaritan as the example of righteous love. And we spent a lot of time listening to one another, often over delicious tea or kebab. The main message people wanted to communicate was their wish for friendship. Could that be the voice of Jesus speaking to us, calling us friends?
Always good to hear from the Sensnigs and what they're experiencing, what's going on. Just want to greet you again in the name of Jesus. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. Amen. This is truly a day of celebration for what Jesus has done for us and what God has had planned from the beginning. Jesus was tried and convicted and sentenced to death by crucifixion. He died and his body was placed in the tomb, and after the Sabbath was over, we know that is Saturday, some women came to where Jesus was buried to anoint his body. And that's where we're going to pick up the account. In John 20, 1 to 23. That's John 20, 1 to 23. On the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark. She saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb, so she went running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him." At that, Peter and the other disciple went out, heading for the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and got to the tomb first. Stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then following him, Simon Peter also came. He entered the tomb and saw the linen cloths lying there. The wrapping that had been on his head was not lying with the linen cloth, but was folded up in a separate place by itself. The other disciple who had reached the tomb first then also went in, saw and believed. For they did not yet understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to the place where they were staying. But Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she was crying, she stood and looked into the tomb. She saw two angels in white sitting where Jesus stood, where Jesus' body had been lying. One at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "Because they've taken away my Lord," she told them, "and I don't know where they have put him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know it was Jesus. "Woman," Jesus said to her, "why are you crying? Who is it that you are seeking?" Supposing he was the gardener, she replied, "Sir, if you carried him away, tell me where you've put him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." Turning around, she said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. "Don't cling to me," Jesus told her, "since I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and tell them that I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them what he said to her. When it was evening of the first day of the week, the disciples were gathered together with the doors locked because they feared the Jews. Jesus came, stood among them, and said to them, "Peace be with you." Having said this, he showed them his hands and his side. So the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." After saying this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." The ideas that the disciples and the followers of Jesus had still revolved around Jesus being an earthly king. They did not understand the true reason Jesus was sent to this decaying world in human form. They were sad and they didn't understand what had gone wrong. The Messiah was hung on a cross. He died and was placed in a tomb. They didn't understand that. He was supposed to be the king that reigned over his people. But God, in his infinite wisdom, planned something better than just an earthly kingdom. Jesus' reign as king goes far beyond what we can imagine. Some of the disciples who went into the tomb saw the evidence that it was empty. The burial cloth and the shroud, they were there, yet Jesus' body was missing. It wasn't there. Angels asked them, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen." And that's found in Luke 24 in Luke's account. Yet they didn't know what that meant until Jesus revealed it to them. Mary was crying and thought she was talking to a gardener until Jesus revealed himself by saying her name. And Mary goes on to report what has happened to the disciples. That evening when the disciples were gathered together, Jesus appeared to them even though the doors were locked. They saw Jesus alive, and he ate right in front of them. They were hiding in fear in a locked building or room. Jesus told his disciples and us many times that he was going to die and going to be raised from the dead, yet they didn't understand what Jesus was telling them. Jesus said many times that he'll tear down this temple and rebuild it in 3 days, talking about his crucifixion. They didn't know he was going to be crucified and rise again from the dead. He was their Messiah. He was going to rescue them, and he did. He just did it in a different way than what they were looking for.